Still wondering about this, what's happening at the marina. Now, I know you guys are keen to do something. The last time the plans went in, the council basically knocked them back, or they said they didn't close the door, but said go away and reconsider a couple of things. Where do we stand November 2018?
All right, just a quick recap on what we've been up to over the last 12 months. As you said, we've been very busy with Cairns. We've had the three properties under construction there. The first hotel opened up a couple of weeks ago on November the 6th. That's the Riley Hotel. Opened up tremendously well. It's exceeding our expectations already, so we're very happy with the way that that started off.
Mm-hmm.
The other two properties down there, one will finish off in the middle of next year, which is a Bali property. And then finally, Flynn finishes off at the end of next year. Throughout this same period of time, we've continued to study Port Douglas, and we took on board all of the comments that we received, not only from the council, but also from our retail tenants and from the tour operators as well, as to what's important to them, so that we could try and find a solution to how we can best develop this block of land down here. We also brought on board an independent consultancy firm, Dransfield. Dransfield consult to the hotel industry throughout Australia, very experienced. They work with, you know, big hotelier companies and smaller organisations like ourselves in coming up with solutions. They've come up with a solution, which is an integration of a mixed development here, which encompasses two hotels, a five-star hotel and a six-star hotel, some private villas and some apartments, both of which can be sold off in the retail market. So this is their recommendation. We then took that recommendation out to three architectural firms, all of whom have had, you know, tremendous experience in the hotel construction business, so they're all very much aware of what needs to be done here. And those three architects are in the process of presenting to us how they believe they can best respond to that Dransfield report. We've had two of the presentations so far, and they're two completely different presentations. Their architectural intent is quite different, but the end result is the same in terms of the five-star, the six-star hotel and the villas and the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Our next presentation is going to be held tomorrow. So we will then have the three different presentations. We then, as a group internally at our head office down in Sydney, we then look at those three presentations, and we use our experience in hotel operations and to visit the hotels that we visit globally to make sure that we are in touch with what's happening globally. And we make a decision on who has best responded to the Dransfield report and which of those hotels will have the best return on investment for us. The construction costs will all be pretty much the same. The investment, our investments will be the same, but the winning architecture is the one that can attract the most people, and we can market that product at the best return on investment. And that's the next stage of the process. We as a group make that decision, and then that decision is then passed on to Gasana Boot, who is financing this development. And, you know, we are talking about a development that's going to probably peak out at nearly $200 million by the time we look at the cost of the marina and the land and then the development and the villas and the apartments. So it's a very significant investment that we're making in this area. And so Gasan is obviously very keen to see the different responses to the brief and to have his input as to which way we go.
Mm.
Once we get to that point where we really have sign off by our internal people and by Gasan for the financial support, we then take that to council and to the community. The council and the community will then have an opportunity to view what we would like to build here. And that's where I think that, you know, I'm keen to ensure that we have good, positive conversations, because that's where we either make it or break it, I guess. That's that's where it finishes.
Well, it didn't end well last time,
no,
as far as the council is concerned. And reading comments on local online newspaper, Newsport and a few others, people, a lot of them were upset. Now, there's a bit of a mixture here in Port Douglas. You have the people, the old guard, who want to keep it as a village and not all of this new stuff come in. But there's also people who are progressive, who see the future. Without something like this, this town could die. And you know, all of this feeds into the tourism industry and our economy. Mm. Anybody who sees it like that. I think my personal view is that I would love to see the development done correctly. How confident are you that this new proposal to council, and you haven't seen it all yet and you haven't put it all together yet, but how confident are you this time that it will go through with the Douglas Shire Council? You've had no trouble with Cairns Council. You get, you know, straight away, they say yes or no. Mm. Up here, not so much the case. How confident are you now that the Douglas Shire Council, this second round, will work?
Well, if we compare the local council community with the Cairns experience that we had, in Cairns, the council entrusted us as hoteliers to put forward what we believe is the best five-star architectural solution. They supported it from the beginning, and we had DAs approved within 4 to 6 weeks. Like, it was a very smooth process. That was the first property. Because it was so smooth, we decided to invest in a second hotel down there, and we had an equal response and an equal speedy processing. And that then led to our third acquisition. So, you know, where we work closely together, we jointly made very quick responsive decisions, and we immediately started construction, even before architectural drawings and building construction drawings were completed. Like, we moved with lightning speed. If I compare that to my experience in Port Douglas, it was a lot slower. It was a lot slower, and we had to have a closer consultation with the community and the council, which we were very happy to do. You know, we're very happy to work with everybody on this.
Yep.
But I guess that the extent of the conversations that we were having just prevented us from reaching an agreement. And it wasn't one party. It's not as if it was the council's fault. And I know that there was a lot of finger pointing at the council, but it wasn't just the council. It was also ourselves, where we had to take into consideration impact on the tour operators and the retail businesses as well. So I think that we all learned a lot from that. You know, we all learned that this is only going to survive and to succeed if we do consider all parties. But at the end of the day, it's not going to happen if it's not a good business decision for us. You know, we need to get a return on our monies. So we need to have a density. We need to have an architecture that makes financial sense to us. And that's what we'll be putting forward to the council. We will be considering the retail customers and the tour operators. We want to have absolute minimal impact on them, and I think that we already have a solution to that. And certainly, our brief to the three architects has been based on no impact on tour operators or to the retail element down here. And so the only difference will really be is how do we perceive the future, the architecture in terms of what's right for the hospitality industry in 10 years' time, not just today, but in 10 years' time. And that's where I think there could be a fall apart of opinion. I know that there is a strong feeling for local architecture. I often drive around Port Douglas and I wonder what local architecture is, because I see all kinds of architecture here. It's not like Santorini, where everything is white with a blue roof, you know, very distinct architecture. Here, there is not a distinct architecture. I think that any hotel that's going to try and set itself up on a world platform has to have architecture that really attracts attention. It's got to be bold. Our tower down at Riley in Cairns is a very bold statement. It's an expensive product to build. It's not space effective, but it's already the Instagram type picture that people will send around the world. Like it or hate it, it's actually something that attracts attention.
That's what
we would like to do here. We would like to have, you know, a product here that is going to be on the front page of Traveller magazine that's distributed throughout London or New York. But we can't have anything that's too passive to do that. You know, we need to have something that is a bold architecture. And that's what we'll be seeking for this. And,
okay.
And it's not something that just mellows in and softly integrates with, you know, with reefs and rainforests. You know, that's not that bold statement. We need something that is a bold statement.
Okay. How patient are you if this next one, you know, goes to council and it is knocked back again? How patient are you? Because I remember when I met you last time, you said, look, this isn't, Paul, this isn't a matter of, look, the decision's made now and then the first bricks get laid in 5 minutes. You know, things get put back on back burners, and we're on a back burner at the moment. How patient are you about this?
Well, I guess we're as patient as the next better opportunity comes along, quite frankly, Paul. I think that, you know, we are continually presented with opportunities for developing hotels in the cities that we ultimately want to go to. In the last 12 months, we've purchased a hotel in Sydney. In the last 12 months, we've acquired a property in Newcastle. Last week, I was looking at another property and that still hasn't reached Melbourne yet, which I'm seeking. So, you know, we always have opportunities presented to us, and each of those properties require, you know, substantial investments. You know, you're talking about $50 million plus investments, and you can only do so many of those each year. At this point, you know, we're doing our budgets for next year. We can integrate Port Douglas into next year. But if I find that right opportunity between now and then that's elsewhere that, you know, that provides us with a better return on investment and a better solution for our organisation, then that takes priority. And that means that Port Douglas, it doesn't fold. It just means that it gets put back by another year. And then I'll be sitting here with you this time next year, and we'll be talking about what are our plans for 2020. So.
Yeah, I understand. Mm. Mark Davey, CEO of Crystal Brook Collection, thank you for coming into the studio. I think you've enlightened us a lot, because this really is the water cooler story around the marina. People talk about it. What's happening with the marina? Oh, it hasn't come off yet. It's got to go to council. Council will knock it back. Council will approve it. You know, there's all these stories floating around, but it's nice to learn the truth, and you've told that to us this morning.
Yeah, well, we've tried to be completely open, and, you know, I had a very quick but positive meeting a couple of weeks ago with the council, and I met the new CEO, and, you know, I was very encouraged by the feedback that we got. I'm confident that we can reach a decision this time around, and we can move forward. I think that that you will never get 100% commitment on any kind of a development. There is always those who are anti-development, and that will be the case here, just like it was in Cairns, and it is in Melbourne and Sydney and Newcastle, all of these other places. We never get 100%, and we expect that. But what we do hope is that we can get enough support to make this happen.
Yeah,
that's what we're seeking.
Yeah. I think it's I think it's fabulous. I would love to, as I said, I'm giving my opinion now. I want this project to go ahead, done the proper way. That statement is an interesting one. I think we need something in Port Douglas that provides a statement. You can't keep a village feel all of the time. It is a wonderful place. We don't have traffic lights here, which is just fantastic. Mm. Let's keep it like that.
Yeah.
But you still need to have investment. You still need an economy in this place, or it will die. We look at other country towns and other precincts in the nation, and you can see without money coming in, without investment, without those great things happening, places die.
Yeah, well, I was really encouraged yesterday. I was looking at the Cairns Post online.
Yep.
And the headlines yesterday was something along the lines of Crystal Brooks has stimulated 19 new projects for 2019. So, I mean, what a great statement. I mean, when was the last time that you would pick up the Cairns Post and see 19 new developments happening? And, you know, that's a great investment, but it needed somebody to start it. And, you know, we're very happy to be that person to start it. We're happy to be that person to start it here in Port Douglas. And we've always hoped that once we do start that investment, that others come along and go for the ride with us. We don't want to be the only ones doing it. And, you know, I was so encouraged to see that report and then read through it, all the different things that are happening in that area. And a lot of it, somebody needed to start it, and that's what we did. And we're not stopping there. We're continuing to push, and lately the last few days we've been certainly pushing for the closure of the Esplanade down at Cairns, because we believe that that's another progression that Cairns needs to further stimulate the tourism industry. So we're continually work with the community and the council to work out how do we attract more people to that area. Once again, happy to do it with Port Douglas, but we need everybody's support.
Mark Davey, it's always great talking with you. You're such a straight shooter. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.